family, Jamal, alcoholic.
Jamal.
I was just told about this, you know, and I'm like, yesterday I led a meeting and I was in a much better frame of mind. I said, not today. I literally, when I got home from work, I was like, I just want to go to a meeting, sit in the back and just listen and just. But you know, I've learned through this process that, you know, when you're asked to do service, that I have to freely give back what was so freely given to me. So, of course, I'll come up here and ask God to work through me so I can perhaps share a clear message and the solution, you know, that I learned in this process. Real quick, Jamal, alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 28th, 2016. I have a sponsor in Miami. He's encouraging me to find someone local, so I'm looking. I sponsor two guys in Miami. I've encouraged them to find someone local as well. There's a lot of change going on in my life. Started a new job. I relocated because of work and back in a field that I had squandered based on my alcoholism. And I love what I do, and I'm actually working with my mentor who has actually helped me through this process, and she's seen me up and down, and so I thanked her for an opportunity for her to hire me in my sobriety. This is the first time I'm truly working to the best of my ability the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and so I'm grateful for that opportunity. It's only through God. I'm a miracle standing up here. 11 months ago, I was sleeping in an abandoned building and on the railroad tracks, and I was a supervisor in a healthcare organization, making a lot of money where one shouldn't be sleeping in abandoned. But if they have this disease of alcoholism, that's one of the consequences, and I've had several consequences. And so when I walked in the door and was told that I would be sharing for 10 minutes, now it's 15, I gathered myself, I said a quick prayer, and I just opened the book, and there was two things, but this one really speaks to my story. It's on page 24, it's in There Is a Solution, and it says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. And when I read that with my sponsor, when I was working my steps, I truly could relate to that because that's my story. I repeated a cycle of just despair, destruction for numerous years. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I have an older sister, and my dad. My mom was a hardworking woman. She retired after 30 years at the Wisconsin Gas Company and tried her best to instill principles in me and my sister. My dad, on the other hand, he suffers from this disease. And when I was 10 years old, he moved to Phoenix, Arizona to get his life together. And he's not in the program, but he quit hard drugs. But he drinks and smokes weed. and I have a relationship with him today. But that was me growing up. Like, my dad left. I grew up in Islam, and that's a part of, like, one of those, I guess, institutions or, you know, things that I didn't think that I had a resentment against, but doing step work, I realized that I did. At the age of 5, I can remember being up in my parents' attic, and I was playing with a doll, and it was like, I felt really comfortable doing that, but something whispered in my ear, and it said, you know, you're different, and you're gonna have to lie about this difference. And so that just set off a chain reaction within me, because at that point I just felt different and I couldn't tell people what my differences were. Through step work, I learned that that difference really didn't make me an alcoholic. I used to blame that difference on my alcoholism, and it really isn't about that. I have a disease of alcoholism that just wants to annihilate me at any given moment. And I'm really, I just really thought that that was the reason. And if I could just, you know, deal with that, I would be okay. But that wasn't the case. So I had this difference for years. I went off to, and the difference was I was a gay man or a gay boy at that time. And I hit it, and I was like, okay, I don't want to live this way of life. And so I joined the Army to make me a man, and went to college, and joined a fraternity, and was always seeking something outside of myself to fulfill a hole that was deep in me. And then I finally came out of the closet at age 30. I'm 44. And I thought, that's it. And that wasn't it. I quickly learned that it just spiraled out of control. I took my first drink when I was 18. I remember it. I was senior skip out day, and up until that point, I didn't have a lot of friends. I isolated a lot because I was literally like a robot. I had to watch everything that I did because I didn't want people to think that was different. So I watched the way I talked, walked, everything that I did, and I was a prisoner in my own self. And so senior skip out, I was surprised that I was even invited to senior skip out day, and they had alcohol there, and I remember drinking it, and it was like, and I heard this, you know, with other alcoholics, like, there was just a sense of calm, and like, I was free, and I was like, this is it. This, if I can just drink every day, you know, this is my solution. And then when I went into the military, I was in charge of the military IDs. And so I made myself an ID that made me 21, because I was 18 when I got in there. And then I could go to the PX and go get all the alcohol I wanted and get alcohol from my cousins and my friends. And then they liked me because I had an ID and I can get this alcohol. And then I had to use alcohol for everything that I did. You know, to go to school, I would get up in the morning and mix alcohol with my coffee. So I could just, and I went to school at Arizona State, and that's a big party school. And so I would mix it with my coffee, and just to be able to walk through campus and thought that I could be myself. I thought alcohol made Jamal. But then something, it turned into an enemy. Like it flipped on me. Over a period of time, I was able to graduate school and start my career, but it was like I was drinking more and more alcohol. I was just burying everything that I had inside of me that I didn't like. I was full of self-loathing, self-hate, and everything like that. And alcohol was easing that pain. And at the age of 27, trying to fit in again, I tried this substance. And that began a real quick downward spiral. And it took close to 17 years to get 11 months sober. And I would, you know, and it says, and in the literature, you know, I would just really hurry up and try to get my life together so I can pull it back down over my head. And that was my vicious cycle. I would do that over and over again. I would get the job. See, and the job was like my God, because, you know, I'm a beast at what I do. I just, you know, and that's ego and pride, but that's how I used to carry myself. I knew I was a beast. I had the skill to do analytical work, and I was like, once I get in the job, I would be MVP of the organization or some accolade, and I would show everybody what I was made of just to tear it all over again. And I did that over and over and over again. So, and not even looking at the fact that that was like evidence that I was an alcoholic, like just clueless as the fact that, not even clueless, but in denial with the fact that I was an alcoholic. And the last time, well, not the last time, but how I got to Florida, I'll share that. So I was working in Richmond, Virginia, and I had lost that job, and my mom had to send for me to get back to Milwaukee. And again, I said, if I could just get a job and, you know, get a good job, everything will work out. And I got a job at the school district. I was like their supplier diversity coordinator. So this job was out in public, Chamber of Commerce, mayors, aldermen, trying to engage the public in our contracting process. And yet again, I started to drink and drug, and the chief of my department called me into the conference room. And he said, you're acting, your behavior is sporadic, and we need to test you right this minute. And I broke down in that conference room, and I told him that I may be still drunk, and I definitely would test positive for a drug. And he said, okay. They tested me, and he said, I'm just gonna ask you one thing. This was a Wednesday. You're gonna have a hearing. This was on a Tuesday. You're gonna have a hearing on Friday. Just make it to Friday. Just make it to Friday, you know? Just make it to Friday. Don't drink or drug. Go to your hearing, and you know, you gotta be sober when you go to your hearing. And the only problem with that was Thursday was payday. So, but I gave it a shot. I was holding on. Tuesday, they sent me home Tuesday, held on to Wednesday. Thursday, got paid. Thursday night, praying, trying to just hold on. And about 10 p.m., I said, let me just get one drink. Let me just get one drink. And I woke up the next morning after my hearing time and called them and said, I need to reschedule. They said, okay, see you Monday. I made it Monday because I had spent all my money, so now I can make it on Monday. And they said, you were terminated. And you have like 30 days worth of insurance left. So I went home, dialed a 1-800 number, gave them my assurance. They said, okay, you want to go to Miami? I was like, yeah, I want to go to Miami. Why not? Posted on Facebook, I'm going to Miami, full of pride and ego. I left out the part I was terminated because I'm an alcoholic for my job, you know. I didn't share that part. I just said I'm going to Miami. About to live it up. Went to rehab, and my mentor who just hired me, she called me. She said, she calls me Jamo. Jamo, you coming to Florida? I said, yeah, I'm going to be in Miami. She said, I got a job for you. I said, great. That's what I need. Why are you coming to Miami? I said, just to visit and just hang out. I said, I won't be able to start to maybe 30 or 45 days after I get there because I don't want to lose my insurance, right? She said, okay. But that was my rehab time, right? So I went to rehab, and I just walked through rehab, and every day I was figuring out how much money I'll make with this new job, you know, still not seeing the evidence right in front of me. Eventually, I used on that job, and I was supposed to fly out to Latham, New York, and they paid for everything, and I missed my flight, and again, I woke up, and they were, you know, calling my phone, and I was a no-call, no-show, and I went to rehab again. But this time, when I emerged out of the motel room, I was so disgusted with myself. I said, Jamal, you're a bleeping addict. I said those words, and I meant it for the first time. And I didn't know what I knew I meant it, but I was like, well, let me do my thing over again. Let me get into rehab. Before they fire me, get on short-term disability, do the dance again. But this time something happened. It was like I was tired. I had no more excuses because when I came to Miami, my mom said to me right before I got on the plane, she said, son, if you're trying to kill yourself, you're not doing it fast enough. That was her goodbye to me to Florida. And so I couldn't go back home. I just had no more excuses. And when I went to this rehab, it was just different. I was willing to take the suggestions. Like they took us to outside meetings. I started to get phone numbers. And that was very significant because I started to actually use the phone numbers and call people. I did not know how to stay sober. I needed help. And I just started to work the program. So real quick, I got a sponsor, worked the 12 steps, got a connection to a God of my understanding, support group, learned how to pray and meditate to the God of my understanding. And the way I got to Tampa is unbelievable, and I hope to share that one day with you guys. But I'm so happy to be here with all the love and support. Thank you for letting me share.